Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you're here, and I am so glad to watch all of these great folks visiting with friends, and then I start speaking, everyone starts running. What a great community to be a part of this morning. And always, as you look through your bulletin, you will see announcements and calendars with opportunities to be church together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the table following worship this morning for those questions. And if you are a Sunday school teacher, Sunday school teachers, and will be out with our children during communion, just a reminder that you are invited back into the sanctuary after the kids have been picked up. And there will be a member of public worship who will be there to serve you the elements if you wish, so you won't miss out on communion. Don't forget to pass around that hospitality register so that we have a chance to greet one another by name. And so remember, when you do sign it and it comes back, open it. Take a look. Look at the names. And that way, following worship, you can greet one another by name. Few announcements this morning. First, if we have any confirmation youth present with us, if you have not picked up your binder, please do so. They are in the office. Make sure you sign it out so I know that you got it. And we will meet together, parents, and hopefully all the sponsors and confirmation students for the first time on October 19th. And finally, fall is in the air, and it's definitely feeling that way, and the trustees want to remind you that fall cleanup will be coming, and so watch for your bulletin for more on that. But you can also take a look on the kiosk if you know that your weekends are pretty tied up through October, November, and you want to help clean up the church. Go ahead and find something on that list and, you know, do it. Great help. All right, a few other announcements. Peter.
Good morning. In keeping with the change in the air, next week, the Spiritual Journeys Committee, the leg of the journey is to Herd Orchard, just a little west of Brockport. We're meeting, weather permitting, it's Rochester, in the parking lot, 1 o'clock, and we're going to carpool out there. Okay? Lunches are available, but it's depending on whether they have pies for you. So, 1 o'clock, parking lot, weather permitting, visit to Herd Orchards. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Al.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For over 30 years, GPC has been supporting St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. October is one of the months that we support them again. So on the third weekend in October, we will be serving the best goulash in Rochester. And what we need is all of you to sign up on the kiosk and donate food, and also sign up to prepare the meal on the 17th, Friday night at 6:30, or come and help us serve it on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie, any announcements this morning?
The Wheel-a-thon is today. That means this is your last chance to pledge to support the youth for the Wheel-a-thon. They have a big old bright orange sign, very easy to go up and offer your support. And for youth and riders, meet us at 12:30 at Henpeck Park. We'll get going, have a lot of snacks and treats, and enjoy a picnic at the end. See you there.
And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God together.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the responsive call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. These breads on the table are symbols of the many different peoples within the family of God.
We break the bread of the Middle East.
An area where so many live under the threat of unimaginable violence. We celebrate those who are working together to bring about peace in their country through nonviolent actions.
We break the bread.
Where entire countries and communities are being shut down in the desperate efforts to slow the accelerating Ebola outbreak, we celebrate healthcare workers and volunteers caring for the sick.
A land where the differences in Christian beliefs have shaken the fabric of society, causing economic and political upheaval. We celebrate those who encourage relationships among Christians across all denominations.
An island displayed by tourist ads as a tropical paradise, ignoring the hundreds of thousands of sisters and brothers facing incredible challenges with violence and poverty. We celebrate those who are courageous enough to respond to the changing needs of the Caribbean in a global context.
Where the deep scars of civil war remain on the land and people, where violence, poverty, and hunger causes children to flee and cross the border into this country. We celebrate those who seek to provide hospitality to strangers and keep families together.
We break the bread of Rochester.
A place where our young people face insurmountable debt and the reality of unemployment, and our elderly folk living in fear of not being cared for. We celebrate those who are being a good neighbor and speaking out for what they believe in.
A place full of violence, hatred, and pain. We celebrate all those who join at tables of peace and justice to bring about God's kingdom.
The table is set, so come, let us worship God together.
We were happy.
Let us pray together. God of all people, you have called us to be followers of Jesus, who sat at the table with outcasts and sinners. We confess that we have not listened to that call. Too often we ignore those who are poor, who are migrant workers, homeless people, native peoples, and the outcasts of our days. Forgive us, we pray. O lover of justice, strengthen us to witness the resilience and resistance of your faithful as we work for justice with you. Amen.
Let us now lift up our silent prayers of confession. The good news is that God calls us to this holy feast table over and over again and provides us a place to bring our questions and our struggles. With the gift of grace through Jesus Christ, we are nourished.
Thanks be to God.
Now, will the children please join me at the communion table? Here, guys, keep up, all right? Stand up. Here, go ahead and stand up. We want to look at the table. All right, go on. Here, let's go ahead and gather around, okay? I want everybody to be able to see. All right, so I've got a question. Who has family in another city? Yeah? Okay. Who has family another state? All right, yeah. What about another country? Does anybody have family in another country? Nice, okay. But I gotta tell you guys, that one was a trick question, because right now in this church, we all have family around the world in Jesus Christ. The deal is, this is World Communion Sunday, so that means that we have all these different types of bread, and all around the world, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ are going to be sharing communion together. They're going to be praying for us, and we're going to be praying for them. So we get to think about all the people around the world who care for us and who love God just like we do. Does anybody know where these different breads come from? Yeah? From wheat? Yeah, that's totally right. Comes from all sorts of different grains, and we made bread all sorts of different countries. What about this one? Have you guys ever had these before? Yeah. This is just like the bread they make in Guatemala. Have you had some of this? No? It's pretty tasty. You might like it. What about this bread? Yeah? You've had some of that? Awesome. This is what we have today to show that this is bread from us too, from Rochester. So there are people all around the world who live in all these other countries, and we're all going to be taking communion together. So today, think about all the different people around the world that love God just like you do, okay? All right, let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, thank you for all the people. Help us to love everyone, no matter where they live. Amen. All right, time for Sunday school.
Today's first reading comes from the Old Testament, brought to you by an appropriately old reader. and it's the song of the unfruitful vineyard. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, and it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and the people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down.
Before we journey to the table this morning, let's take a different kind of a road trip, one that will require us to go in our imaginations, or, well, I'm not sure, the wheel-a-thon. You all are heading out for a 20-mile ride, correct? So another 260 wouldn't be too big of a deal, right? So we'll give everyone a break 4 hours by car, I'm going to imagine it is one that you have done before, down to Pittsburgh. But this time we're going to head to a quiet neighborhood on the East End. Imagine yourself driving down the tree-lined street. I can see the trees are ablaze with the beauty of fall. And as you drive down the road, you see the 100-year-old homes. I bet a few have pumpkins or colorful fall mums sitting out for decoration. And eventually, a large stone Presbyterian church comes into view, known as Shadyside Presbyterian Church, built in the 19th century, the treasured Richardsonian Romanesque landmark is composed of many beautiful stones. But we are looking for one stone in particular, and it's set in the ivory marble floor of the chancel, there in the sanctuary, where there is an inscription that reads, "Worldwide Communion Sunday was originated in Shadyside Presbyterian Church by Dr. Hugh Thompson Kerr in 1933. I wonder what the world was like for Dr. Kerr and the congregation that would have gathered for worship much like we are this morning. But on that first Worldwide Communion Sunday, in 1933. There might be a few of us who remember. I don't. Bill, I don't think you're going to remember either. This goes back a way. Back to 1933, when the storm clouds of Nazism and fascism hovered over Europe and threatened an entire world. That was the year Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany and opened the first concentration camp in Dachau. Polio and tuberculosis outbreaks devastated families and communities abroad and in our own neighborhoods. 1933 was the darkest year of the Great Depression, with unemployment peaking at 25%. And all the states were dealing with how to respond with the legalization of alcohol, now that prohibition had come to an end. The prevailing mood was anxiety, fear about economics and politics, fear about disease and violence, fear about what the world would be like in the future. So much fear that when FDR was inaugurated that year, he began with those famous words of his speech, "First of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." As a faith response to all the fears of three generations ago, in 1933, a group of leaders at Shadyside Presbyterian Church sought to do something about it, both real and symbolic. To proclaim that God is God indeed, in spite of politics, economics, health, and future. How, they wondered, how could one church counteract the pessimism of a larger society? How might they succeed in eliminating the walls of separation between Christians? Dr. Kerr admitted that the concept, as many do in the church, spread very slowly at the start. People didn't give it a whole lot of thought. But then during World War II, the spirit caught hold because we were trying to hold the world together, he says. Worldwide Communion Sunday symbolized the effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. And it emphasized that we are one in the spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. On this Sunday in October, we join with God's family all around the world to affirm that while our world continues to be divided by fear and violence, we remain committed to God's love through Jesus Christ that holds us all together. A love that invites us back to this table over and over again to be in relationship with God and one another. A love that, I have to be honest with you, may not be entirely apparent on the first reading of our gospel story this morning. Chances are, the parable I am about to read is one that is often skipped over on the Sunday that we celebrate our unity in God's love at the table. If the verses sound like they would be better situated during Lent, you would be correct. The teaching follows on the heels of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, with the crowds having waved those palm branches and shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" And it will only be a matter of a few days before the crowds turn on him and the religious leaders have the opportunity they have been looking for to execute him on the cross. But in these verses, the crowds have yet to turn, and they are continuing their plotting and their scheming for how to get him arrested. Imagine now, from the beauty of a historic church, the temple courts with Jesus, as he faces the high priests and elders and Pharisees. It is there he offers in the Gospel of Matthew a series of parables, and the imagery would have been very familiar to them and to the community which Matthew is writing. They would have recognized those verses, and we also will recognize the imagery because of the verses that Bill read from Isaiah, where God is depicted as a landowner. With loving care, the vineyards are planted, with God's own hands digging in that fertile soil and removing the stones, building a fence and a watchtower to protect the vineyard from harm, cutting out the wine press because God has confidence that the harvest will be abundant, though things don't quite go as planned. There is no doubt that God is the landowner. The religious leaders know the story before they hear it. And yet Jesus takes a very interesting turn. Let us now hear the words from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. When he leased it to tenants, and then went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect the produce. But the tenants seized the slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned yet another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, the landowner sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get our inheritance.' So the tenants seized the son, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, What will he do to those tenants? They said to Jesus, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. And the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables. They realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Of course, the religious leaders knew the story and would ascertain the slaves to be the prophets who have died for their faith throughout the years. The religious leaders don't know it yet, but along with the early Christian community, we know that the owner's son who was killed by the tenants was Jesus himself. But when Jesus asked them, what will the owner of the vineyard do to the tenants? Did they really know that Jesus was talking about them? And it's so easy to miss in just hearing the story or even reading it for the first time, unless you have one of those red letter version of the Bibles, that the response there in the text, putting the wretches to a miserable death, are not the words of Jesus. They aren't. That is the response the religious leaders give to Jesus' question about what the owner of the vineyard will do to the tenants. All the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, all they can imagine is violence. And after the words come out of their mouths, maybe they realize he is talking about them. Later in the gospel, Jesus will call the religious leaders to account, but here, Jesus invites them and all of us to hear these words, to consider an alternative to the violence and fear of this world. To consider, as one biblical commentator suggests, not what will the landowner do, but what did the landowner do? And to answer that question, we can keep reading beyond this somewhat confusing parable to the rest of the story. We can even flip back to the very beginning of the story and learn of a God who creates the vineyard and all that is in it, declaring it good, calling forth the grain and the grape, and God celebrates their goodness. And in God's very image, God creates, yes, the tenants and the slaves, entrusting creation to their care. And God saw everything that God had made, and in the book of Genesis declares it good. And if we keep reading over and over again through the pages of Scripture, the longings of a God who desires more than anything to be in relationship with God's people, and the people turn away. Over and over again, God sends prophets and messengers to proclaim a love of a God who will do anything to reach out and to be in relationship. And time again, God's people turn away, and all they can see is the fear and the violence around them. So what did God do next? We know this part of the story. God sent God's Son. In Christ, God identifies with all who suffer from the violence of others and themselves, violence in any form that demeans, dehumanizes, and destroys the very life God created. And Jesus was killed because he stood up against the dominant-oriented structure of a society in which the rich and elite, the politically powerful, oppressed and exploited and violated the poor and the weak. And in the resurrection, God did something that no one else seems to be able to do, to proclaim that fear and violence and even death will not have the last word. The world has changed dramatically in the 81 years since that first World Communion Sunday, when it had its beginnings. And yet so much stays the same. Gathering around this table with our sisters and our brothers around the world, may we remember and celebrate and give thanks for all that God has done and continues to do to reach out in love to us, to hold us together, and to make us one in Christ. Friends, the bread is broken, and the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Let us celebrate and sing together. Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. Whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your conditions, whatever your brokenness and hurts that you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites all who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, it was the bread that he took, and he blessed it, and he broke it. He gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You created for yourself a world filled with diversity and blessed by your breath of life. Rainbow colors bloom in spring, summer creates spring garden delight. And now, as autumn comes our way, we see the work of your paintbrush upon every face and tree. Despite your created goodness, we use our freedom for ourselves alone, without regard for your intentions for all. Still, you chase after us to save us from sin's harm, freeing us from slavery to give us a new world flowing with milk and honey. When we chase after other goals, you call us back to you through the cries of the prophets which we ignore, until at last you send your own child to be for us the goodness we refuse. So we praise you in this time and place, our voices merging with our sisters and brothers, one body in faith, hope, and baptism, forever proclaiming your steadfast love.
Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God of grace and tenderness, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our hope, our joy. Though we look for him all the wrong reasons, he offers the bread of life to us. Though we offer the cross to him, he graces us with life. Though we thirst for more and more, he hands us the cup of sacrifice. Though we gossip and slander one another, he speaks the truth in love to us. Though we would divide each other by class, race, gender, or condition, he calls us to oneness in you. Recalling your never-ending love in Christ, knowing we cannot comprehend your grace, we take this bread and this cup, giving you the praise and thanksgiving, even as we proclaim that mystery we call faith.
Christ died that we might have the bread of life. Christ died that we might drink from the cup of grace. Christ is risen that we might be part of one body. Christ will come again to give us eternal life.
Holy God of wonder, we come to your table as many. Make us one body by your one spirit. Feed us with the bread of life so we might feed those who know true hunger. As your justice shines in the shadows of our hearts, may we light the way for the lost and despised. As you speak in truth of your love for us, may we be the voice for the unloved and forgotten. As you reshape our brokenness into wholeness, may we bind up the wounds of our world. And when we are gathered together in glory, one faith, one hope, one joy, one body around the one table of peace and grace, we will join our voices in singing through all eternity to you, God in community, holy in one. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities before his death, so that they might remember, so that we might remember. I know God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and made it holy, just as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. And to remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and as he did, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me."
The same way after supper, he took up the cup, and giving thanks, he said, "This cup is the new covenant, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Do this in remembrance of me. For so often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate this meal together. is the body of Christ, broken for us. Taste the goodness of God's grace.
Friends, this is the cup of salvation poured out for the forgiveness of all of us. Let us drink together.
Let us pray together. Holy God, we give thanks for this meal, for the opportunity to be nourished by your grace and love, for our brothers and sisters around the world as we celebrate together our unity in you. Amen.
Now, as we have come together as a people, we can also share the moments of joy and fear in our lives. There are things that people would like to share today.
I've got one right behind over here.
Good morning, Keisha Binko. I'd like to share joy. Yesterday we had quite a wonderful day of celebrating family. We traveled down to Edinburgh and saw Joshua, who's doing well. Praise be. On the way back, we got to visit with my grandmother for a few minutes. She's 99, and she's in really failing health. So just prayers for her comfort and for guidance and strength for my parents as they deal with her as well. So, and then we finished our evening with a lovely dinner with my parents and then came home, so it was a busy day, but prayers for my grandmother. Thank you.
Good morning, Eric Vale. Every 7 years or so, our birthdays will fall on a Sunday. Today is a Sunday. Today is Melissa's birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. It is to share my birthday with you all this morning here.
Marge Westfall, my granddaughter had her operation this week, but she still needs an awful lot of prayers. And thank everyone who's praying for her.
Janice Bilalovic, I'd like prayers for Traveling Mercies as we go to Illinois for our granddaughter's wedding. And also on the 25th of October, George and I and our family are going to be walking to end Alzheimer's. He'll be rolling. and we're just looking for pledges.
Yeah, prayers for your experience. One back there. Oh, we've got one more right over there. There we go.
Bonnie Beckett. I went on Thursday or Friday to visit Doris Belknap and Murray. They're doing very well. Their daughters are taking care of them. And I brought Doris a book. She has lots of time to read right now. She said the last doctor's appointment and her shoulder bone in her arm near her shoulder is healing. So she has about 3 more weeks of not being able to drive. And we had a good time.
Continued prayers for her, and also prayers for Dorothea Rickner, who entered in hospice care this week. So prayers for her and her family. And also prayers from our children this morning. It seems my children are excited about my birthday, too, and sharing that with you. Prayers for a brother's birthday, for great boat rides with Grandma and Grandpa. Prayers of joy for going to a fun place today. Great joys for Girl Scout trips, and also for upcoming birthdays. Lots of joys from our children this morning.
Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that no matter what is coming on in our lives, we can always reach out to you for grace and peace. God, we ask that you shine your light and your love upon those who are ill and all of the people who worry about them and care for them. Give us wisdom to care for others, to find the best path for their comfort. And give us courage to be there with those who are suffering or afraid. God, we thank you for all of the beautiful things in our lives, the joys of our children, the joys of each other, the joys of getting to spend this time together. We ask that you give us strength to go out into the world and share your love with all people. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us the pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now let us come together and celebrate the abundance of God as we offer back to God a portion of those offerings.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Together we can make a difference. Together we can shine the light of this congregation on the rest of the world through our gifts and our efforts together. We ask your blessings on all that we do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
May the God of all of you send rain down.
in our ears, deep in our hearts, and with our feet and our hands to go out into this world and to share our unity in Christ. Go with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to get up each day and do it again. Alleluia. Amen.
Happy birthday.
take some minutes.
Thank you.